We're on a mission from God.
And now for something completely different. Good morning and welcome to Wrestling with the Basics. I'm Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark from Ascension Lutheran Church in beautiful South St. Louis, Missouri, home of the pink sidewalks in the St. Louis Hills neighborhood.
Jeez. All right, just a second. This is Pastor Jolly John McComsky from St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Nuasins, Illinois, where the sidewalks are just as gray as they ever were. Oh. And also from Trinity in Darmstadt, Illinois, which doesn't have any sidewalks. So, and this is
Wrestling with the basics.
So what's the pink sidewalks? You know, I tell you what, it must be fun to be living there in South County, because every time you got something different. We had the camels. We had the Christmas stroll stuff. What's with the pink sidewalks?
The pinks, I'm glad you asked. The pinks, well, I'm thinking, you know, tomorrow is Valentine's Day.
So it
if
is
you want
Valentine's
a romantic
tomorrow.
Stroll
oh.
with your sweetheart,
yeah.
Come to the pink sidewalks.
Where is this at?
This is the neighborhood that our church essentially is located. It's called St. Louis Hills. And they have this special mix of concrete and dye to make the St. Louis Hills pink color of sidewalks.
So they lay new sidewalks every Valentine's Day, or they're always pink?
No, they're always pink.
They're always pink.
But I'm thinking, you know, Valentine's Day would be a nice day to take a stroll on the pink sidewalks.
And now, wait a second. So are they actually doing... this is something you're suggesting they should do. They should have a special Valentine promotion.
Yes. No, the sidewalks are, in fact, already pink.
Yes.
And I think they've always been pink.
But it's your bright idea.
But
they should play up on
this.
It's
my idea. Let's promote this for Valentine's Day. I think there's potential
there. You
there.
Go. Come to St. Louis Hills and walk on the pink sidewalks.
That's right, yeah.
There you go. Well, all right. The officers there of the... what's the name of it again?
St. Louis Hills.
St. Louis Hills Town
sidewalks.
Council. Let's start promoting your pink sidewalks. You're missing out on the big bucks there, people.
Yeah.
Which I'm glad you mentioned, because we probably need to do something to make the big bucks, because apparently my financial advice was misspoken last week.
Oh, on the vegetable situation?
Well, you know, I hadn't thought it through completely, because my advice was sell your gold and invest in cauliflower, because cauliflower prices are going to be skyrocketing.
Through the roof.
But, you know, I never thought about the fact you could actually keep a garage of gold, and that's not going to be a problem. But a garage full of cauliflower... It rots. It does that. It doesn't keep really well.
Is this something you find out firsthand?
Yeah. So we're having the big sell at my garage. If you need cauliflower, we're giving it to you at a discount price. But maybe the pink sidewalks, that could be a moneymaker.
Maybe
I could sell the cauliflower
on the sidewalks.
On the pink sidewalks.
While people are walking around for Valentine's Day.
Okay. Quit making things up.
All right. We're going to do something different today, as if it isn't always something different here. Because I'm going to propose a topic.
Okay.
And Matt, we're just going to hash this out. We don't really know where this is going to end up. We don't have an outline. There's nothing prepared necessarily.
Not that that
for
ever
this.
Matters.
That's right. Like there ever was anything prepared. So we're on vacation. And by the way, I thought this was kind of exciting that we were given the exit rows on the airplanes. Because, you know, if you sit in the exit rows, you are responsible for the very safety of the entire airplane.
There's a lot of responsibility there.
They had to come and give us special directions and show us how to open the door.
Sure,
and
yeah. These people's lives are in your hands.
So I was impressed that we were responsible for the whole safety of this plane. They would trust Lynn and I.
After going through that screening process that they do, this rigorous process, they would have waited us out.
So we went down to Florida and we're visiting some of Lynn's family and a couple of cousins, a cousin and a husband, and in their life.
By the way, when you're telling these little stories, here's a good idea: have a point.
It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
So it's a cousin and a husband. Okay, go ahead.
And I deserve that. I deserve that. But they have lived a life where they've moved to all kinds of different places. They were in Florida, which is why we visited with them when we were down there. But they were also at a place in Washington, and they'd been in Baltimore, I think, and they'd been in New Mexico because he worked for a job that moved him around quite a bit. So they were talking about how they would find a church, and she was actually born and raised Missouri Synod. By the way, we've come out. We're not hiding that. We are actually both Missouri Synod Lutherans here. We hope you don't hold that against us. You know, there are some good Missouri Synod Lutherans. Come on. But anyway, so they said that the chief thing for them when they went about choosing a church was whether the church was friendly or not.
Interesting.
And of course, kind of implied that a lot of Missouri Synod churches aren't friendly.
Oh.
So you Missouri Synod Lutherans out there, you should be listening to this, because maybe we aren't. Maybe we're not the most welcoming people. But what do you think about that? Is that a good way to decide what church to go to? Because it's the friendly church. It's the church that was friendly when you went there.
Well, I wouldn't, you know, I would not make that my only deciding factor. Okay. But if we're going to look at that, you know, through scripture, I would, you know, Jesus says, by this all will know that you're my disciples if you love one another. So this idea that maybe to demonstrate love for one another, to demonstrate a love even for a visitor here among us that we don't even know by welcoming them, that's an important thing. Is that the main thing? I don't know if I'd say that, but I could see how that could be a factor.
So that's how we're going to do this. You're going to start bringing in the Bible, bringing in Jesus, huh? It's like my opinion might not be enough. Okay, all right. Well, I hadn't thought that, but you've got a point. I suppose we should be friendly.
You don't have to be friendly if you don't want to, John.
Okay. No. That's why I'm glad we're discussing this, because that isn't actually where my mind first went.
You are jolly John Lekumsky, after all. You would think you'd be a little friendly.
But it's just all an act. I'm really a very cranky person.
This is for the radio.
Those who know me. But that's a good point. Yeah, we should be friendly. We should be welcoming. That's not a good thing for us to be cold. Although, you know, my thought is, in my defense, in the defense of Missouri Synod Lutherans, is I think we tend to attract introverted people. I don't know if that's something about our faith, our religion, or the fact that we're German at heart. You know, because Germans, they want to conquer the world, but then they just want to go home and read a book. They don't want to be out there partying with people. Sure. They're not. Yeah, they like being in crowds.
Well, yeah, I think sometimes, you know, kind of an intellectual type of denomination in some respects, Missouri Synod. You know, that we give a lot of thought to something. We take theology seriously.
And yet you and I are in the denomination as pastors.
Yeah,
almost.
I don't
that
know
whole
that.
Intellectual thing kind of makes you wonder.
You know, I think
how did we get through the screen?
What I like to say is we take it, God's word, seriously, but we don't take ourselves too seriously.
There you go.
I think that's
a
healthy
balance.
That's a
nice thought. That could be one of our slogans.
I like that.
We don't take ourselves seriously, but we take God's word seriously.
Sure.
But okay, so I appreciate that.
Yeah.
So now we mustn't use this as an excuse to say, well, those people are wrong. If they don't like us, they can leave. Which actually is actually what they claimed.
It happened
that,
to them?
That someone had contacted them from the church, which I said, well, that's unusual. We don't usually do that.
Oh, no.
So anyway, and you know, they were explaining some of their concerns, and the person said, well, maybe you should go elsewhere. Now, whether someone actually said that or not, I don't know, but that's the impression they got.
Yeah.
So, yes.
Holy cow.
Oh, boy.
We should be friendly people. We should be welcoming. We shouldn't use anything we say here to excuse us from not showing our love to people.
Yeah, to show love and compassion for the visitor among us, the stranger among us.
The sojourner
even.
That's
you don't know where these
thing.
People are coming from, but, you know, I hear stories, too, and that is they sat in my pew. And, you know, stories where people say, you know, that's my seat.
That's
you know,
right.
Do you mind moving over?
Move over.
No, that's not good. Now on the flip side of things, just because a church is friendly, it could be the friendliest church on earth, that doesn't mean it's necessarily a good church to be a part of either.
Yeah.
What is it that they teach? What is it that they believe? Well, what are they saying? You know, there's a lot of social clubs that are very friendly things, but yet they don't have the message of salvation there. You're not here in Jesus Christ, but might be super friendly. So, you know, friendliness isn't a bad thing. We don't want to say that's good. It's something we strive for, a sincere love for the stranger and for our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. But surely that's not the only criterion.
So essentially what we're saying is that we should show our love. We should be friendly,
yes.
Open to people.
Yeah, sure.
And again, like I said, I hope people would understand. I do think we do have a tendency to have a lot of introverted people in. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So just because people don't necessarily come up to you right away, you might go to them. You might be surprised. It's ironic because in our church, we've had a handful of people who left, and we tried to do an exit interview with them. And they said, well, we just found your church cold. And yet what surprises me is we have other people who've come, and they said, this is the friendliest, warmest church we've ever been in.
Sure.
So I don't, okay. But your second thought, that really the crucial thing is, because I think probably most churches, if you stick around long enough, they'll warm up to you.
Mm-hmm.
Even introverts will warm up to you. They've warmed up to me, Matt.
3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
Well, it's been how many years? 37
years. Yeah, I've been there 37 years.
years.
A couple years ago, they really started to make me feel at home. No, they we've had a great relationship. That's why I've been there for 37 years.
That's right.
Can I suggest a text that may combine both of these thoughts?
Please.
That we yes, as a church, we should be friendly. But really, the question is what's being taught? That's what you're saying, right?
Yeah.
What's being taught?
Yeah, what's the substance?
Do you want to read it? Do you want me to read it from Luke chapter 4?
Well, I'll go ahead and read. So Luke chapter 4, and what verse you want me to start at here?
Let's start at verse 31.
Okay, begin with verse...
Actually, just for our listeners,
okay.
This text actually came later. The question came first, and then as we were talking about this, we thought, well, maybe this text has something to say to the issue. Verse 30. Because I'm just saying, usually we do the opposite, right? We have a text, and then
yes.
we talk about the
yes.
text.
Well, yeah, sure.
But there, I had a concern, and I'll shut up.
Well, thanks for mixing it up.
Yeah, okay. Verse 31.
And he went down to Capernaum, to a city of Galilee, and he was teaching them on the Sabbath. And they were astonished at his teaching, for his word possessed authority. And in the synagogue there was a man who had a spirit of an unclean demon. And he cried out with a loud voice, "Ha! What do you have to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And when the demon had thrown him down in their midst, he came out of him, having done him no harm. And they were all amazed and said to one another, "What is this word? For with authority the power he command, excuse me, with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out." And reports about him went out into every place in the surrounding region.
Okay. So I'm thinking about our discussion, and as you're reading this, I'm thinking, I'm not going to that church. They got demon-possessed guys in that church. You talk about being unfriendly.
Yeah.
They got demon-possessed guys in that church.
He's making a commotion. He's yelling out in the middle of the synagogue. Yeah. He's crying out.
We're not going to that church. Okay. And yet, on the other hand, maybe it argues for the friendliness of the church because they let this demon-possessed guy be there.
Yeah, they let him in their midst, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe he had a reputation even in the town, but yet he's there.
But he's there. No one's kicking him out. It's just a remarkable thing to think about, that they tolerated this fella with his outbursts and mm-hmm, his commotions, mm-hmm. as you said. It reminds me, though, of a thing that C.S. Lewis once said. You know, someone was complaining about another Christian, about how, well, he just wasn't a very nice person. How can this person, you know, he claims to be a Christian. He's mm-hmm. just not a very nice, not very friendly or whatever. And C.S. Lewis said, well, you should have seen him before he was a Christian.
That's a good one.
So in defense of the fact that you might come to a church and people seem a little cranky, hey, remember what the church is. It's an assembly of sinners.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so yeah, there probably are a few cranky people there. Like I said, maybe come back another time and you'll meet the one friendly guy that goes.
I know, the friendly guys are here this week, sorry. He'll be here next week.
And you might very well run into the demon-possessed guy, too. And you're like, oh, I don't want to be part of that church. But, yeah, that's a remarkable part of the story. But then, of course, the really key thing about this story is what, Matt? What makes it special that day in the synagogue?
Well, Jesus is there.
Yeah,
that's special. Yeah, but a great point, though, that the church is a place for all people. The church is a place for sinners. Oh. And certainly even someone who's demon-possessed, the church is a place for, because Jesus is present there. His word is present. So I like that point, because I think sometimes people have this opinion that, you know, maybe I'm too bad of a person to go to church. And I've heard people have actually said that to me before. Maybe I'm beyond God's forgiveness. Maybe that's just not the place for me. Everyone seems to be kind of, you know, have it together there at church. I don't have it together. But no, I think in this example we see too that, yeah, not everyone does have it together. We are all sinners. None of us have it together. And church is a place for all people.
And now you're making me feel really uncomfortable, Matt. Because maybe when we say we're going to a church that is friendly, we're saying we're going to a church that's like us, that we feel comfortable in. And everyone kind of looks like us and responds like us. And now you're forcing us to realize, no, the church is the gathering of everybody God calls. And some of them we're really comfortable with. And other people make us feel really uncomfortable. But that's the thing. We're all gathered together, not there because we're good or deserve it, or we're the finest, nicest, friendly people in the world, but we're gathered there because we're sinners, and we know what Jesus does for sinners. And that's what we've arrived at. You know, it tickles me that Jesus goes to the synagogue, because these people, they don't get the whole... That's what struck me about the story, too. Isn't it interesting? We've got two groups of people. We've got the crowd there in the synagogue, and they're astonished at Jesus' teaching. Yep. We've got a demon-possessed man, and the demon himself recognizes Jesus for who he is. But neither one of the groups know who Jesus truly is, do they? Neither one of them recognize him as their savior. And yet Jesus is still there.
Yeah.
In fact, he does mighty works here. At least there's something here that he can do some mighty works. You know, there are other places he went and couldn't do it. No one looked to him. No one came to him. No one brought their sick to him. But don't you get the sense in here that Jesus is telling the demon to be quiet because the demon isn't helping the situation?
No.
The demon recognizes that he's the Holy One of God. In fact, could we, where's the other verse about the, go down if you could, reverse 41, if you would, please, Matt.
Sure.
Or maybe start with verse 40.
Okay. Now, when the sun was setting, all those who had any who were sick with various diseases brought them to him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And demons also came out of many, crying, "You are the Son of God." But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak because they knew he was the Christ.
Now I got something going on in my head. And you're a bright guy, so correct me if I'm going wrong here, because I usually like to think through these things, but this just popped in my head. So here we're talking about what church should you go to. And thank you for reminding us that we should be loving and open and kind and friendly to people. That's what we're supposed to do, okay? So no excuses. Go say hi to that guy, even if you are an introvert, okay?
Yeah.
You can kind of look down. Say, hi, how are you doing? You know, whatever we introverts have to do.
Yeah, and it's out of love, I think, too. Yeah. You know, that's the motivation. It's not just we're not trying to sell ourselves or something.
Right.
We're not trying to, you know, make the deal so they come to our church. No, we just love them, you know? And just to show that, one way to show that is just by not ignoring them and just being welcoming.
You are a smart fella. I'm glad you've come in here. Because, yeah, exactly. So we're not doing this like some church growth guy that says, this is how you're going to do it.
No.
The marketing of the church. No, it's just because we love people. And, okay, you're a stranger. You're a sojourner. So how are you doing?
That's what the church does. That's who the church is. Show love.
But, of course, that's not the reason you choose a church. That's not a good reason. You've got to choose church because the teaching with authority, that's what the text said. We're looking for Jesus to teach us with authority, okay? But, see, here's the thing. The demons recognize the authority of Jesus, and yet Jesus told them to shut up.
Yeah.
Because they didn't recognize Jesus, the Savior. They recognized Jesus who taught and whose word had power and who could say, be cast into a herd of pigs, and that's what you're going to do, whether you like it or not. But no, that isn't what these people needed to hear. They didn't need to hear that witness. They knew the authority and power of Jesus. They would see it as Jesus cast out demons and healed the sick. But what they needed to know was the Jesus of love and compassion and forgiveness, the Jesus who would die for you because you're so important to him. Because, see, I'm thinking that's the other problem then in our church. So we're the authoritative church. We teach what the Bible teaches. But we need to understand that's not enough. Mm-hmm. Even that isn't the reason you go to a church, because they teach what the Bible teaches. But you should choose the church that teaches you that Jesus is your Savior and that he forgives your sins. Mm-hmm. Which then I think brings us full circle back to what you said before. That's why then we do say hi to the sojourner, the visitor, not because it's some gimmick to get another church member, but because, yeah, we're probably dealing with a person with some problems and some weaknesses and some sins. Might be demon possessed. I don't know. Maybe that's why we don't say, because what kind of crazy guy is coming? I know the people in the church. We don't have any crazy. Yeah. I'm sorry. But yeah, does that make any sense?
Well, yeah. And I think as we look at the words of these demons,
yeah,
I know who you are, the Holy One of God. You come to destroy us.
And then again,
you are the Son of God. You know, and I think it's a great point you brought up. They recognize his authority. They recognize Jesus' power. They even know who he is. But they're certainly not proclaiming him as the Savior.
Yeah.
And they have knowledge of Jesus and who he is. Demons certainly don't have a faith in him, though. And that's what needs to be proclaimed, is who Jesus is, that he came to be our Savior, the Savior for you. And for that to be proclaimed in our churches, that's what's key. Yeah, to preach the Bible, very good thing. To stand firm on God's word, but that word centered in Jesus Christ, and not just an intellectual knowledge of Jesus Christ, but that knowledge that all this is for us.
So the point is, we're not trying to make excuses for you unfriendly people out there. Okay. Although I tell you what, we don't need to make excuses for you, because you have the love and forgiveness of Jesus Christ. So please remember that. We're not condemning anybody. I think we've all been in situations where we felt uncomfortable and didn't know what to say. And we trust that the Lord loves us and forgives us. And that, by the way, no man's salvation is dependent upon whether we say hi or not.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, if the question is, well, what church am I going to go to? You want to look for the church that, first of all, is teaching with the authority of Scripture. You're right. That's important. We're looking for the authority of God's word, the word of Jesus. But more than that, look for the church that is teaching you that Jesus is the one who came to suffer and die and rise again for the forgiveness of your sins. We're looking for the church where that good news is proclaimed. In fact, could we close with one more verse
here?
Yes. Let's go to the verse 42 through 44, and we'll wrap it up.
And when it was day, he departed and went into a desolate place. And the people sought him and came to him and would have kept him from leaving them. But he said to them, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose. And he was preaching in the synagogues of Judea.
And so that's what we want. We want a church where the good news of the kingdom of God is being preached. And in fact, in the Greek here, Matt, it just really emphasizes the centrality of that good news. Because actually, it doesn't use the word preach in the Greek. It just says he good news them. He good news them, the good news of the kingdom of God. And it doesn't say he was sent for this purpose, but he says upon this he was sent. So the focus is all on this. Euangelion is the Greek word. It's mm-hmm. all on this good news.
Good news.
And then that's what he did. He says, that's what I came to do, and that's what I'm doing, and that's what he's called the church to do, is to do this preaching. And the word, by the way, in 44 is preaching. It is used there, but it is actually the word to proclaim, to make an announcement, to tell people how it is. So God help you. You find a church where you're going to go, and the pastor's going to stand up and say, look, you're all a bunch of sinners, and look, you're all forgiven by Jesus Christ. So, well, thank you for just going on with me for this discussion, Matt, and I hope it's been helpful to our listeners. And you go to church and you listen for that word that God loves and God forgives. Any other thoughts, Matt?
Oh, just that confidence that Jesus is present. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there the word and sacrament. Go where Jesus is present, where he's proclaimed. And thanks for that question. Very provocative, thought-provoking. As always, on Wrestling with the Basics.